Let us then turn in God's Word to 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2, we will look at chapters 2 and 3 of 2 Samuel. I'm sorry, I'm misspeaking here. 2 Samuel, thought we were going backwards, did you? 2 Samuel chapter 2 and 3, as we see Israel descending into civil war. Saul is now dead, and Israel is moving forward, and yet you'd think things would get immediately better, right? David is becoming king. And yet, sadly, and in God's providence, we need to understand that it doesn't get immediately better. So, 2 Samuel chapters 2 and 3, let us give our attention to the Word of God. It happened after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to any of the cities of Judah?" And the Lord said to him, "Go up." David said, "Where shall I go up?" And he said, "To Hebron." So David went up there, and his two wives also, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the widow of Nabal the Carmelite. And David brought up the men who were with him, every man with his household. So they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. Then the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying, "The men of Jabesh-Gilead were the ones who buried Saul." So David sent messengers to the men of Jabesh-Gilead, and said to them, "You are blessed of the Lord, for you have shown this kindness to your lords, to Saul, and have buried him. And now may the Lord show kindness and truth to you. I will also repay you this kindness because you have done this thing. Now therefore let your hands be strengthened and be valiant, for your master Saul is dead, and also the house of Judah has anointed me king over them." But Abner, the son of Ner, commander of Saul's army, took Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanaim. And he made him king over Gilead, over the Asherites, over Jezreel, over Ephraim, over Benjamin, and over all Israel. Ishbosheth, Saul's son, was 40 years old when he began to reign over Israel, and he reigned 2 years. Only the house of Judah followed David. And the time that David was king over in Hebron over the house of Judah was 7 years and 6 months. Now Abner the son of Ner and the servants of Ishbosheth the son of Saul went out from Mahanaim to Gibeon. And Joab the son of Zeruiah and the servants of David went out and met them by the pool of Gibeon. So they sat down, one on one side of the pool, the other on the other side of the pool. And Abner said to Joab, "Let the young men now arise and compete before us." And Joab said, "Let them arise." So they arose and went over by number, 12 from Benjamin, followers of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and 12 from the servants of David. And each one grasped his opponent by the head and thrust his sword into his opponent's side. So they fell down together. Therefore that place was called the Field of Sharp Swords, which is in Gibeon. So there was a fierce battle that day, and Abner and the men of Israel were beaten before the servants of David. Now the three sons of Zeruiah were there, Joab and Abishai and Asahel. And Asahel was as fleet of foot as a wild gazelle. So Asahel pursued Abner, and in going he did not turn to the right hand or to the left from following Abner. Then Abner looked behind him and said, "Are you Asahel?" And he answered, "I am." And Abner said to him, "Turn aside to your right hand or to your left, and lay hold on the one of the young men, and take his armor for yourself." But Asahel would not turn aside from following him. So Abner said again to Asahel, "Turn aside from following me. Why should I strike you to the ground? How then could I face your brother Joab?" However, he refused to turn aside. Therefore Abner struck him in the stomach with the blunt end of the spear, so that the spear came out of his back, and he fell down there and died on the spot. So it was that as many as came to the place where Asahel fell down and died stood still. Joab and Abishai also pursued Abner, and the sun was going down when they came to the hill of Amma, which is before Gia by the road to the wilderness of Gibeon. Now the children of Benjamin gathered together behind Abner and became a unit, and they took their stand on top of a hill. Then Abner called to Joab and said, "Shall the sword devour forever? Do you not know it will be bitter in the latter end? How long will it be until you tell the people to return from pursuing their brethren?" And Joab said, "As God lives, unless you had spoken, surely by morning all the people would have given up pursuing their brethren." So Joab blew a trumpet, and all the people stood still and did not pursue Israel anymore, nor did they fight anymore. Then Abner and his men went on all that night through the plain, crossed over the Jordan, and went through all Bithron, and they came to Mahanaim. So Joab returned from pursuing Abner, and when he had gathered all the people together, there were missing of David's servants 19 men and Asahel. But the servants of David had struck down of Benjamin and Abner's men 360 men who died. Then they took up Asahel and buried him in his father's tomb, which was in Benjamin. And Joab and his men went all night, and they came to Hebron at daybreak. There was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. But David grew stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul grew weaker and weaker. Sons were born to David in Hebron. His firstborn was Ammon by Ahinoam the Jezreelitess. His second, Chileab, by Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite. The third, Absalom, the son of Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, the king of Geshur. The fourth, Adonijah, the son of Haggith. The fifth, Shephatiah, the son of Abital. And the sixth, Ithream, by David's wife Eglah. These were born to David in Hebron. Now it was so, while there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David, that Abner was strengthening his hold on the house of Saul. And Saul had a concubine whose name was Rizpah, the daughter of Ai. So Ishbosheth said to Abner, "Why have you gone into my father's concubine?" Then Abner became very angry at the words of Ishbosheth and said, "Am I a dog's head that belongs to Judah? Today I show loyalty to the house of Saul, your father, to his brothers and to his friends, and have not delivered you into the hand of David. And you charge me today with a fault concerning this woman? May God do so to Abner, and more also, if I do not do for David as the Lord has sworn to him, to transfer the kingdom from the house of Saul and set up the throne of David over Israel and over Judah, from Dan to Beersheba." And he could not answer Abner another word, because he feared him. Then Abner sent messengers on behalf of David, saying, "Whose is the land?" saying also, "Make your covenant with me, and indeed my hand shall be with you to bring all Israel to you." And David said, "Good, I will make a covenant with you, but one thing I require of you. You shall not see my face unless you first bring Michal, Saul's daughter, when you come to see my face." So David sent messengers to Ishbosheth, Saul's son, saying, "Give me my wife Michal, whom I betrothed to myself, for 100 foreskins of the Philistines." And Ishbosheth sent and took her from her husband, from Pealtiel, the son of Lachish. Then her husband went along with her to Bahurim, weeping behind her. So Abner said to him, "Go, return." And he returned. Now Abner had communicated with the elders of Israel, saying, "In time past you were seeking for David to be king over you. Now then, do it. For the Lord has spoken of David, saying, 'By the hand of my servant David I will save my people Israel from the hand of the Philistines and from the hand of their enemies.' And Abner also spoke in the hearing of Benjamin. Then Abner also went to speak in the hearing of David in Hebron. All that seemed good to Israel and the whole house of Benjamin. So Abner and the 20 men with him came to David in Hebron, and David made a feast for Abner and the men who were with him. Then Abner said to David, "I will arise and go and gather all Israel to my lord the king, that they may make a covenant with you, and that you may reign over all your heart desires." So David sent Abner away, and he went in peace. At that moment, the servants of David and Joab came from the raid and brought much spoil with them. But Abner was not with David in Hebron, for he had sent him away, and he had gone in peace. When Joab and all the troops that were with him had come, they told Joab, saying, Abner the son of Ner came to the king, and he sent him away, and he has gone in peace. Then Joab came to the king and said, What have you done? Look, Abner came to you. Why is it that you have sent him away, and he is already gone? Surely you realize that Abner the son of Ner came to deceive you, to know you're going out and you're coming in, and to know all that you are doing. And when Joab had gone from David's presence, he sent messengers after Abner and brought him back from the well of Sirah. But David did not know it. Now when Abner had returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him privately, and there stabbed him in the stomach, so that he died for the blood of Asahel, his brother. Afterward, when David heard it, he said, My kingdom and I are guiltless before the Lord forever of the blood of Abner, the son of Ner. Let it rest on the head of Joab and on all his father's house, and let there never fail to be in the house of Joab one who has a discharge, or is a leper, or leans on a staff, or falls by the sword, or who lacks bread. So Joab and Abishai, his brother, killed Abner because he had killed their brother Asahel at Gibeon in the battle. Then David said to Joab and to all the people who were with him, Tear your clothes and gird yourselves with sackcloth and mourn for Abner. And King David followed the coffin. So they buried Abner in Hebron. And the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. And the king sang a lament over Abner and said, Should Abner die as a fool dies? Your hands were not bound, nor were your feet put in fetters. As a man falls before wicked men, so you fell. Then all the people wept over him again. And when all the people came to persuade David to eat food while it was still day, David took an oath, saying, God do so to me and more also, if I taste bread or anything else till the sun goes down. Now all the people took note of it, and it pleased them, since whatever the king did pleased all the people. For all the people in all Israel understood that day that it had not been the king's intent to kill Abner, the son of Ner. Then the king said to his servants, Do you not know that a prince and a great man has fallen this day in Israel? And I am weak today, though anointed king, and these men, the sons of Zeruiah, are too harsh for me. The Lord shall repay the evildoer according to his wickedness. Thus far, the reading of God's word, may he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we have looked at Samuel's books, I'm not sure that I have done a great job from the perspective of making clear what I want to make clear here. Where are we coming from as Israel? If we look back, we're coming from Egypt. Egypt was a picture to the Israelites of the bondage of sin. And then God brings them through to the promised land. And yet in the promised land, initially, we had the judges. The judges were sometimes good, but most of the time Israel had bad judges and a sinful people who had no sooner been saved from their destruction which God sent them than they turned back to sin. Then Israel became unhappy with the judge system. And they said, We want a king. And Saul was doomed pretty much from the start. He was part of Israel's rejection of God as their direct king, as their direct ruler. And so he was a picture of rebellion. And at that same time, he also had a bare start of the picture of the king of Israel as the picture of the coming Savior of Christ. He was a miserable failure as a king and as a believer. Yet God did use him to do some good things. But in the end, his life was not a witness of Christ, but a great failure. And so where are we coming from? We've come through some very difficult times for Israel. But where are we going? We're going forward to David. We are moving to Christ. But David is a picture beforehand of who Christ was to be to us. David was Christ's representative on earth. Israel, during the time of David, had some of the best times that they ever had as a kingdom. They ruled over the largest area toward the end of David's reign. But yet, even David was not a perfect witness of Christ. David sinned. David failed in many ways. We see some of that in our passage this morning. Where are we going? We're going forward to Christ. We're going forward to David's true son and to the perfect salvation. David represents, and we see that written in our passage this morning, that the people of Israel and the elders of Israel had said, "We want David to be king." And Abner says, "God has promised to deliver you from the Philistines and to deliver you from your enemies through David." Of course, David, while he did a great job of that, failed in many ways as well. Because the greater than David is coming in Christ. Our focus must be on Christ, on the new heavens and the new earth. Christ as the perfect king. As we look at David, we see God's forgiveness, his mercy. We see God using even these hard times to bring forward a blessing. Yet as we look at Israel, how often they fail on the way. God brings us through this world, through this veil of tears, forward to the glory that he has prepared for us. And so as we look at Israel, they descend into worse trouble. David is beginning to take over the rulership of Israel. He takes rulership in Judah. And by the end of this chapter, he has been anointed king over all Israel. And yet, at first, it certainly doesn't look better. And we have to understand that God does not just give us good times in our lives. God gives us hard times through which to serve him and to glorify him. If God gave us just easy times all of our life, how would we be able to show God's glory in these things? We live in a world in which God directs and uses even sin for his glory and for his honor and for our good. Not that we continue in sin that grace may abound, as Paul says, but that we see and understand God's power, that he is Almighty God, is sovereign, even using evil for our good. And so we see Israel props up Saul's family and brings about useless death and torment on themselves. Israel still longs after the reign of Saul, and Saul is king, and so Ishbosheth is anointed king over Israel. And yet Judah, David's tribe, anoints him and honors him as king of Judah. So first of all, we see that David seeks God's direction. David looks to God for guidance. David is again and again, as we've been saying, seeking God's will. He is an obedient man. Does this mean that it's all easy sailing? No way. David uses the Urim and the Thummim to ascertain God's will. God tells him to go up to the cities of Judah and to Hebron in particular. These were an amazing thing. We don't know much about the Urim and the Thummim. But that is how David is able to ask these questions of God. David takes his wives with him. These were tough women. They had been brought into the Philistine area. They had not long ago been in captivity. And David brings then all who are with him up with their households to dwell in Hebron from Philistia. And David is anointed king over Israel. God's direction brings David and his men to Hebron to his blessing. When David arrives, they anoint King David king over the house of Judah. Notice that David had been anointed by Samuel king over all Israel. But even in the Old Testament, rule required the assent of the governed. David did not become king until Judah elects him king here, and later until Israel elects him king. And David honors those then of Jabesh-Gilead who had buried Saul. David is told who had buried Saul, we read at the end of verse 4. And David sends messengers to these men saying, "You are blessed of the Lord, for you have shown kindness to your Lord Saul and have buried him." David asks God's blessing on these men, and now may the Lord also show kindness and truth to you. David promises his own repayment. David honors Saul, and David honors those who had been kind to him. David takes this opportunity as well to tell them that Judah has anointed him king, and he encourages them to continue to be valiant for Israel. Yet Israel continues in rebellion against God's plan, and everyone is hurt through this. Ishbosheth, Saul's son, is made king over the rest of Israel. Notice how this comes about. Very different than how Saul's becomes king, or how David becomes king, isn't it? Abner, the commander of Saul's army, makes Ishbosheth, Saul's son, king over the rest of Israel. There's no vote. There's no assent of the governed. This is king now. That's not how it works. Ishbosheth's reign was only 2 years long, while only the house of Judah followed David, his own tribe. And Israel falls into civil war. We have, first of all, the death of 24 young men, 12 from Israel, 12 from Judah. These are senseless deaths in the large scheme of things. And yet God uses them to bring about David as ruler of his people. He brings about that which is good through that which seems to be senseless to us. Because Israel is still in rebellion against God's plan and needed to be turned around. And even these men whom we read at the end of the chapter, David says, these sons of Zeruiah are too harsh for me. These men, we read in a little bit, call a truce, call an end to killing. And so these 12 young men from Israel, 12 from Judah, take each other by the head and stab one another, and they all die together. And there is a fierce battle that day. But who provides the victory? God directs who wins. David, with just his few men, including Judah, would have been much smaller than Saul's army, than Ishbosheth's army. And yet, David is given the victory. And again, we see more from what our human perspective says is senseless death. And Asahel then dies on Joab's spear shaft. There are three sons of Zeruiah there, Joab, Abishai, and Asahel. These are brothers. And they're all on, well, not all on different sides of the battle, but they are on opposite sides, opposing one another. See how wickedness divides even the families. And Asahel pursues after Abner in this battle without turning one way or the other. Asahel is as fast as a wild gazelle, we read. And Abishai tries to get Asahel to stop. And Asahel just keeps continuing after him. And Abishai says, "Take armor, at least, so we can fight properly." And Asahel won't stop running after him. He's pursuing him. He's trying to strike. And Abishai strikes Asahel with the blunt end of the spear. I'm sorry, Abner does. And it kills him there. And those who see stop and are amazed at it. The senseless death, not only of, as it were, young men, but of seasoned warriors goes on when people are in rebellion and rejection of God. There are times to fight battles. But even these who are, as we said, what David says, "These men are too harsh for me." Even these men see how stupid this is. And so Joab and Abner call a truce at the end of the to end the killing. Joab and Abishai pursue Abner as well, but the men of Benjamin assemble behind him to protect him. Abner realizes that this civil war is bitter and will become more bitter, and he calls for a truce. And Joab says that it would have all been over by morning. Joab is David's captain. And so they call a truce. The armies return home. And we have a number of those slain, 20 of David's men, including those 12, I'm certain, and as well as Asahel, were dead. But 360 men of Benjamin and of Israel were dead. Again, in the midst of the battle, we see that they respect the body of Asahel. They bury him very carefully in his father's tomb in Benjamin. And David grows stronger. Saul grows weaker. There continues to be war between the house of Saul and that of David. David grows stronger. David has a number of sons while in Hebron. He also makes the mistake of starting to get involved in marrying too many women. But we see that God is making David stronger. Then we turn to Ishbosheth. And his jealousy hastens his fall. Ishbosheth falsely accuses Abner, and he defects to David. There continues to be war between David and Saul. And Abner is strengthening himself in the house of Saul. And unfortunately, I hoped we could get through all of this today, but it's not going to happen. I think we're going to take a break there between those two, just because I don't want to run too far over here. But anyway, as we see this, we see Israel fighting against one another. God's people fighting with God's people. Killing young men, killing old men. And brothers and sisters, we have to understand how horrific sin is. That sin and the effects of sin brings about these problems. And as we look at these things, we have to understand where they're moving. That God is providing the victory to David. But we have to be down in the trenches. We have to fight the battle. We don't just get to rise over the top. Notice David starts out by praying that God would direct him. But even in the midst of that direction, we need to understand that there are hard times. There are going to be times in which we look around and see senseless things from our perspective. But who's directing it? When it's senseless from our perspective, it's not senseless from God's perspective. He knows what's wise. And He brings it forward. And He brings us forward not only to David's kingdom where Israel was greatly prosperous, but He brings us forward to the fulfillment of David's kingdom in eternal life. That while Israel was in great problems because of sin, yet God is merciful. God gives grace. God saves sinners. We see David. We see these men who died from what we see as senseless ways. And yet God brings about that which is glorifying to Him. God brings about the good of Israel through that. And so, brothers and sisters, we must understand that even as we struggle in this life, and even as sometimes we look around and say, wow, that was senseless, God is using it. God is directing all things for our good and for His glory. And as we read through the chapter, we must understand that God brings about that which will be to the great glory and to the great honor of Israel and points us forward to the great glory and the great honor that He provides for us eternally. Amen. Let us bow our heads and our hearts before God's holy throne in prayer. Almighty and most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You that You direct all things. And even as we see Israel falling into civil war, yet we know the end from the beginning. We can look at it. And we can see that You are providing the victory. You are the one who directs and guides. As we sang earlier in the service, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And so, Lord, in all things, in life, in death, in hard times, as we read in our call to worship this morning, in all things, we pray that we might have a trust, a perfect trust in You. That You will certainly turn these things to our good, knowing that You are able to do it, being Almighty God, and willing also, being our faithful Father. And so, Lord, may we never lose hope of the wonders of Your grace, and that through life and through all things, our Savior, our God, is the one who directs all of these things for our good and for Your glory. We thank You for our Savior who gave His life, even going through the shame of death and paying the penalty in hell, which we deserve, for the glory that would follow. And so we pray that our lives would as well follow that pattern, that as we live in this world and even as we struggle in this world with sin and with evil things, yet, O Lord, the glory that You give us that follows is far more glorious. We pray these things in Jesus' name, praying as He taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.